9 o'clock. Lines was open, meeting law.
Yes, it was sent to the county clerk, posted on the website, to the CSB building, and sent to the radio and newspaper.
Okay, I need a motion approval of the agenda. I so move. Second?
I'll second it.
Favor?
Aye.
Aye. Okay, I need approval of minutes. Any questions on the minutes? Or otherwise, I'll entertain a motion to approve the minutes.
I just noticed this morning it still has the November 16 date on those minutes, and it should be the January 18.
Okay.
The minutes are right, the date's just wrong. So I didn't need that.
Somebody thinking about going south. And
I think so. That was probably it.
It always makes me feel that's better, okay. Gary, when she makes these mistakes. She's usually the one that catches mine, so.
Okay. I have a motion to approve those minutes.
I make a motion to approve the minutes.
All motion made to approve the minutes. January 18, 2023. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Okay, public comment or communications?
We have anything today.
Okay.
I just want, we have, oh, sorry, Diana's on, Pat's on, and it looks like Jill and Alyssa from the Flatbow Senior Center are on, just so.
Thank you.
Okay. Okay, advocacy reports and activities. All right.
All right. I don't know if there was original board meeting, honestly. I forgot to look again this morning, and I can't even remember January at all, Harden. So I can't give you a report because I don't know. I don't feel like there was one. Or maybe it was when I was off because I didn't attend it. So I can't give you an update on that. Disability Advocacy Day has been scheduled for March 23rd. It is an in-person event from 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. I think they'll be meeting with legislators. They'll do probably some in-group training, and then meet with legislators, I believe. I know it's been a while since I've had an in-person one, so I'm not sure if they're for them yet, because I haven't seen an actual flyer, but if you're interested, I will get you a flyer. Alzheimer's Advocacy Day, is not one I've attended in the past. I don't know how long that one's been around. That's Tuesday, March 7th from 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. And then Aging Advocacy Day is the one that we have traditionally participated in the past. And that is Tuesday, May 9th. And I'll have more information coming out on that too. More importantly, whether you can attend the advocacy days, if you do just run into legislators or things like that, please just kind of let them know that, you know, things are busy at the ADRC. Never hurts to let them know that we can always use more funding and more staffs and things like that. So we don't really need to, I think, wait for the advocacy days, but I will. Usually I do prepare some materials ahead of time for that and kind of give them just a little bit of an annual update on kind of where we're at and what we look like. So just so they've got something in front of them. And then the regional coordinated transportation plan, we have to have, so we work with the Southwestern Transportation Transit Team. It includes Richland County, Green County, Iowa, Lafayette, and us. It's required in order for us to get 5310 funds and 8521 funds. We have to be part of this regional coordinated transportation team. And then we have to do a plan every 5 years. So the last plan is up this coming year. So we'll be working on a new plan. So we have to do a public hearing for that. So I do have it scheduled after the board meeting, April 18th, after not our board meeting, sorry, after the Grant County board meeting. It will be here in the training room. And there will be lunch. So if you're interested in lunch, stop over and let us know your thoughts on transportation. If you can attend, that would be great. And that will be facilitated by Southwestern Wisconsin Regional Planning helps facilitate not only the meetings, but will also facilitate the public hearing. So
sell.
So seventh wheelchair van sell?
Yes. So our wheelchair van has died. It's not only has it died, but it's the frame, and it was getting to be in rough shape anyway. Those wheelchair vans they do not go the distance. They just never do. Especially maybe in southern climates, they go a little farther, but because they retrofit everything in the air conditioning, we always seem to have a lot of problems with them. But this one is just, the frame is rusted and it's not in good shape. So I do need to get permission to sell that. And we will probably just sell it as is. We've actually already had an inquiry on it. I think somebody wants it maybe for parts. So
you have two. This isn't the one.
This is the Dodgeville one. Yeah, we have the taxi.
Right.
We'll need to get another wheelchair van because we still do a fair amount of transports with that. But yeah.
So need a motion.
Yes.
Have permission to sell the van. I need a motion for that.
I'll make a motion.
In a second.
I'll second.
All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Okay, number 8, purchase 2 used vehicles for nutrition.
So I don't know that we actually need approval on this. I just wanted to, we have 18,000 budgeted in congregate and 18,000 budgeted in home delivered for a van. We were looking to replace the bag. We van is in fairly not great shape either, but we're limping it along. However, with the addition of moving the Platteville meal site, I think we're going to be in need of another vehicle there to use for volunteers to help do some of that. We just do so many meals out of there. If relying solely on volunteers, I think it's going to be very difficult. And we had been using the senior center van the last few years during the pandemic. John called, I kind of loaned that. So we are looking at that, maybe getting 2 used ones. I think we could use it regardless. Even if we pull out a Bagley, the basketball one is also in rough shape. So I'm thinking eventually the Bagley one would end up going to basketball once we're done in Bagley. So, and I think we could get away with a smaller vehicle.
Yeah.
For the Bagley and possibly basketball one. I don't know that we necessarily need a van. Most of the SUVs anymore are pretty roomy if you put the seats down and things like that. So we should be okay. So our thoughts was maybe just to look at a couple used with lower miles and just try to get something off a lot somewhere. So I had a message yesterday just to see if we thought that was possible within the procurement policies because I hate procurement policies. And I hate that whole process. I don't know that we necessarily need a motion on it, do we? Or
no, I think it's more just informational.
Okay.
That there is money in the budget, that's your plan. It's like I told Lori yesterday, procurement, you're putting things out for bids to see what's available. Under this, you're basically... It's a one of a kind. If you find something on the lot that fits your needs, it's a one of a kind. So you really have the option to buy that if it fits your needs and within your budget and everything. So she just wanted, I think, to inform you that was going to be your idea, because to buy two new vehicles, you're looking at 25 to 30 a vehicle, no matter what.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
I think you get the right idea.
Yeah, and I just think that, you know, we can get by. We don't put that many miles on them, so we can get by with something with just some lower miles on it. It'll be fine. But boy, I having just bought a used vehicle, I know how fast they go off the lot. Because by the time I had literally gone to the dealer, they had sold 2 out of the 3 I was looking at. So
I hope you get a reliable one when you get it.
Exactly.
All the days.
So. You know, the nice thing around here is they know us. So hopefully, you know, they also know that they're going to see us. So, but okay. And so I think we will probably go ahead and look at doing something like that. And then the next one, the purchase the wheelchair vans from a trust or grant. I did put vans in there because, again, I haven't completed the 8521 annual report yet. So that will tell us just how much money. I know we did not spend out all our money this year. And again, with the pandemic, we're not running as much as we are. So we're going to be putting some money back into that trust fund. In the past, and pre-pandemic, we can only have 80,000 in that trust. However, that's not going to get us two wheelchair vans, believe me. They're now up to, like, what did I say, 66,000, 68,000, just incredibly high price. They also can't get them. I talked to the state, Lori at the state, and she, or it was actually her recommendation to go through and try to get them off a lot somewhere. She said the ones they've gotten through the grant program, they don't have yet. And I think that's from last year, and they didn't get them yet. So we may look at that. We are, like I said, our wheelchair van is done. We are doing a transport. We're just doing a partnership with SOC right now. SOC, we were transporting for them. Well, not for them, but we were transporting a participant, and they actually asked if we could continue to do it by using one of their vans and providing our drivers. So we're actually going to do that. But it's having that wheelchair van down, it really puts us in a bad spot because people do use that. I'm hoping that maybe we can possibly rent theirs for a while, because a lot of times the wheelchair van rentals are on the weekend. People want it for, like, maybe to get somebody to a wedding or a funeral or just a ride. You know, sometimes it's just a trip out for them. So hopefully maybe we can do some of that till we can get one. But depending on how our trust grant looks, I think I've got, shoot, I was going to look at that. I think we've got about 58,000 is what I think. And if we put more in there, we may have enough to get to. Sure. But I do think if we could get to, it would be possibly beneficial. The other thing would be is if we can't, then maybe we'll go through one with Eckstein. Ideally, what we'd like to have is one of them be more local for communities. And we did get some clarification from our insurance company that we can have volunteers driving those, because we checked for the nutrition. Mm-hmm. So what I'd like to be able to do is have one of those vehicles available sometimes for some of the community activities, like maybe the Knights on the Square or just some of those other activities that people might want to get out for a little bit. And we could just make that available, even if nothing else, with a volunteer driving it, to get people, you know, or even the farmers market. It's just, you know, available for a few hours. It might not be an all day thing, and it might not be every day, but it here and there to get to some of those events. So would be nice. So that I would need approval on. So if you think that's okay, if you might want to say to purchase up to two if we have money in the grant. Obviously that requires DOT to go along with that as well. So okay. I don't just have carte blanche to spend out that trust fund. So
anybody want to make a motion on approval of wheelchair vans with the funds? I'll make a motion to approve the motion with the funds that I have available.
I'll second it.
Okay, motion made second. Chair, man, all in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Okay, number 10, Flatville meal site update.
Okay. So Courtney and I did go, we met with Josh Keepers and Chris Richards last week, and went back over to the armory and looked at that. The kitchen itself, once that's cleaned up and everything's checked out, is actually, I mean, it's a big, huge commercial kitchen, so I think it's got enough space for us. Mm-hmm. It's not terribly ideal with the entrance for where we'd have to bring carts of food up, but it's doable. Mm-hmm. My driver might not, so he might have to live with it. So there is an entrance. I don't know that it's real doable for a congregate site, because it isn't, the accessibility for that isn't real great. And the congregate site would have to be just in the open gym, and I just don't know that that's going to be. So we may be looking at an alternative for the congregate site, pursuing either a restaurant option or something like that. But I think it will work for the home delivered, which is what we absolutely have to have moving forward. We can delay the congregate a little bit if we need to. But.
I haven't been in there for a while, Lori. Is the kitchen manageable, or are they planning? I had heard that they're planning to upgrade that.
Yeah, the kitchen has, well, it says it has a working dishwasher. We didn't try it out, but we'll get it. It's a full commercial kitchen. It's like, it's very reminiscent of an old high school kitchen. It's got steam tables. It's got the three compartment sinks that we need. I think the kitchen really is all, the space there is all we really need. And it's very large. It's in more
storage.
What's that?
Is there a lot of room?
Yeah, I smoke. Oh, my God. The whole downstairs is like the basement's like an absolute bowling alley. There are more than that, about four of them. But yeah. No, I think there's storage up top too that we would need. And what they did say is we could store some down and keep what we need up front. And then, so it potentially we could actually even keep a little more on site possibly.
Yeah.
And that we wouldn't have to constantly be sending stuff there, because you send their stuff
pretty frequently.
Yeah.
Just because of the number of meals they're doing.
Yeah.
They need a lot more disposables.
So more importantly, you know, they're interested in having us. So that's the main thing, because obviously it's been a little difficult to find a spot to land. So we did speak with them. Obviously, again, they are looking at this as a lease, which is not something we've had in the past. But they did propose a $450 a month lease. They'd like a year commitment, which obviously is fair. And I don't think that's too bad. It's not in our budget, so we will have to look at that. But I'm fairly confident we can work it out. And that does include everything that's all inclusive. So we did talk to them about it. So as far as Courtney and I are thinking, it's a little more centralized to Platteville, which is nice, because if we get out in some of these other sites, we can be pretty far out. So I don't know. Do you have anything you want to say? I mean, I think we can make it work.
Yeah. Just for distribution, though, right?
Yes. I think we would, you know, obviously we're not going to, if somebody absolutely needs a meal, we're going to try to make that work. We obviously don't want to go without a congregate site in Platteville, but we're going to pursue some other avenues for that first. And we have talked to the state about that, the mm-hmm. fact that we may be having the congregate site not functioning for a few months until we can possibly find something else. Yeah, I mean, you could bring people there. I just don't think it's going to be very harmonious to a congregate site. And
it doesn't have that welcoming.
Doesn't have much of an aesthetic
feel to it. Yeah.
But hopefully we can pursue something with a restaurant. I had put in a call to Country Kitchen, and I have not heard back from them. But I'm also going to check with the hospital. The hospital might be a partnership that they might be willing to do too. It's a little farther out, but again, you know, it is what it is. So, and we had stopped down there the one time, and they had a nice meal selection down, and you know, it's not a bad atmosphere. Yeah. So, we may take a look at that as well. Or something else that comes up. If people know we're looking, they may have, you know, someone else might be more interested in helping us out. So, but we probably do. I don't know if we need approval on that. I guess I don't know that I've ever moved a meal site here. Closed a few, but not moved any.
Yeah.
So,
spending money, right?
So, yeah. This does require a lease. So, and that is not in my budget.
I would think you probably should
get approval.
Just have approval and maybe have Ben look at your lease.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay, then I'll entertain a motion to approve the meal save $450 per month with a 1-year lease for the summer evenings. By the bill. So you can have a motion on that. Approval. Kathy,
second.
Okay, motion made and approved that meal site $5 for ADRC meal site. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Aye.
Okay,
what's your time?
Well, we need to be up by the other one by the end of March. So I think we can. I think it's doable. I mean,
They made it sound like, yeah, they'll get in the kitchen, they'll clean it up, they'll make sure.
They're not officially owners yet. They don't close until the 22nd. So
of this month.
Yeah. So as soon as they close, they.
So it's still by April 1st.
Yeah. They seem to think it was. And, you know, so we'll, again, hopefully make it work. But there may be some things they need to do after we're already in there. But we can live with that. So as long as we can. Get everything moved over and get everything in there. So, yeah. We may need some storage though for some stuff if we can't move everything. I don't know if that works. It's not storage.
Okay, approval of vouchers.
I had a question about an item on page 7 of $1,200. Is that rent that we paid? Down here, PFC City and Fuel for HDA.
Oh, that was for the Platteville Senior Center. We paid $1,200 for the fuel usage.
Yes.
The van for the previous year.
Yeah.
Oh, I see. That's a yearly payment.
Yeah, we did offer that up because we had used the vehicle, so we did cover our fuel expenses. So
okay.
Yes. Because we did not pay any rent to them. So that was for use of the vehicle.
What other questions? I'll entertain a motion to approve vouchers.
I'll second it.
Motion made and second to approve vouchers. All in favor, say aye.
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 Okay, financial report.
Is there just motoring through here? All right. I don't think we have anything unusual on here.
This is just
honestly, I spent more looking at 2022 than I have this one.
You will just start seeing some of the rent that we do pay for. Some of our meal site locations are annual, so those will be coming through.
One of the things you'll also see this year is we're going to have reduced revenues because our ARPA funds will be running out. So I think they already have. I think I'll have them spent out. For last year, except for caregiver. We still have some ARPA funds in caregiver. How to spend those out is so tight that we can a little more difficult. Any questions on it?
Hello?
No, I didn't open yet or a second.
I'll make a motion.
Okay. Motion made and second to approve financial report. All in favor say aye.
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 All opposed? Okay, number 13.
No, they went their way.
Okay. I did not. So I wanted to give you a little bit of an update on the 22 budget, just so you know where we ended up. We still don't have everything in, but I think I put all the revenue that we're expected to get out of war in there that should be coming at some point. But we haven't even done the December report for GWAR yet, because they didn't have it ready. So we're behind. Not behind because of us, behind because they were waiting in ARPA funds. So if you look at the bottom of that, you can see the ARPA funds that were in this were a little over 100,000. So we will be not having that this year, most likely. So that will be a little bit more of a challenge in getting some of that revenue back. But otherwise, we ended up in pretty good shape. Our expenses, while more, which we expected, well, our revenue was also more, so we were able to cover that, and we came out pretty good. Hopefully. Oh, what happened to my budgeted expenses? Projected expenses on the back. Yeah. Sorry, I thought I had that all in there, and apparently I didn't see that when I printed it out. So the budgeted expense, we actually came, I was going to say, that doesn't look right. We actually came under budget on expenses, and we were over on projected revenue. We got a little bit more in ARPA funds than I anticipated. And obviously, while some of our programs, the nutrition program, went over budget, we were able to save in a few other areas. So we ended up a little bit under. So that was good. And I don't know what this year is going to bring, because I don't know where food expenses or fuel expenses are is going to go. So it's kind of a challenge that way. But we are being more cognizant of the fact that we have much more people wanting to be on home delivered meals, calling quite frequently, and much more people in need, I should say, not just wanting, but in need of it. And that could be a problem moving forward, because we're not seeing increases in that. I'm hoping that maybe we'll get some increase in federal funding, but as I've said before, we don't get a lot. You know, it's about 160,000 for congregate. It's about 40,000 right now for home delivery. Is what we get for federal funding. Then we rely on the participant contributions. We get another 38,000 from USDA. And then that's about it. And then we do get money from family care. We can charge family care at full cost. That's, I think, going to be, I know it's something that other counties are struggling with as well. And some counties have gone to waiting lists, which and some other things, which is pretty hard to tell somebody that needs meals that they're on a waiting list. So, but just to let you know that I think, you know, unless we get more additional funding, we are going to have to come up with some more creative ways. One of the ways that has been presented at the state is by, what do they call it, prioritization, trying to determine if somebody needs meals every day that we offer them, or if they can just get by with a couple meals a week. And so some of the counties are moving towards that as well. So,
do you have a pretty good repertoire of volunteer drivers, a meal delivery?
We're holding our own pretty well. There are still times that Courtney has to run out somewhere and deliver. And for the most part, we do okay.
For the most part, we're pretty good. Muscadet is still our hardest.
Yeah.
Area.
Yeah. In one of our more, I mean, we probably do 20, 25 meals out of Muscadet.
25, yeah.
And we don't have a good, and we openly advertised and specifically called them all out and said we need volunteers. But that's been the one area that it's been very hard. Mm-hmm. The rest of them are okay. Our volunteer drivers are down a lot. We've lost a lot of volunteer drivers. We probably lost half. But between the pandemic, fuel costs, insurance, all of that, it's just been one thing after another. And yeah, you can't really blame people. But so we are
very much in need of those again. Essentially we just have to do less routes. We just, again, can't burn out our volunteer drivers. So, so that was the 22 budget. Just wanted to just show you that. If you've got questions, just let me know. Otherwise, we've got taxes happening again. Things have going well, I think, there. I don't think there's been too much. Courtney participated in the hazard mitigation planning meeting for me. Because I had to be gone, I signed up to participate and then had another commitment. So Courtney attended it, and I'm going to attend one today. We work with emergency management quite a bit when it comes to emergencies, so we wanted to be a part of that. I've already talked about the public forum. And then IT is working with a vendor to implement some IT training aimed at preventing staff from clicking on malicious links and things with emails. You know, the hackers are busy every single day. And we've gotten crazy emails for the last probably couple of years that look like they've come from, you know, people within the organization. So they've been working real hard on trying to prevent that. So so now they're doing some training aimed at that. So staff just took a survey on that, and we'll see what that brings us. Other than that, it's pretty much business as usual, but we're busy. So the numbers that I shared for you, and I'm sorry, I didn't put what they were. So the top, this top little chart here is total contacts. This is just our 80 ADRC specialists. This isn't our transportation. This isn't our nutrition. This is just our ADRC specialists taking calls. And this is because we are regionally, this is the region. So if you look at the number of total contacts, we're at about 38% of the entire region for number of total contacts. And then the encounter contacts, I think we're at 35, 36%. We have not had a slow year. when you compare it to the other counties, Green being very similar in size, you can see our staff are very busy. Very busy. And I'm not sure how long we can keep this up. We really do have to start pulling back a little bit or making appointments out a little longer. We're going to be burning staff out. So we have been talking about that a little bit. We're hoping that we'll see some more money in the state budget at some point, because we haven't had an increase since I think ADRC started. But it's certainly called for. In terms of the grant, if you look at the grant, I think our funding is at about 27% of the grant, and we're at 38% of the workload, so we're a little off total. However, with that, because of the high numbers that they have, we also do a much higher, we get Medicaid reimbursement back, so they do a really good job. But I am trying to look at that a little bit more. I'm limiting our DBS now back. Again, a normal workload for a DBS has been a recommended workload, according to the attorneys, is in the 60s. And we have traditionally been in the 80s, and our DBS last year got up to like 100. So we're pulling back on that, and I'm just, you know, telling her, you know, we're just going to have to schedule out a little bit further. So, because the more we do and the more we just burn people out, we'll lose those good people that we have that are doing a good job. And the people that we're going to replace them with are not going to be able to handle that kind of a workload. And it also just sends a message that, you know, the staffing isn't needed because they can handle it. And really, it's a lot. I would say this is probably, well, I think I've given you numbers in the 5 years and you've seen a steady increase. So I just think it's something we really need to advocate for moving forward. So we'll be providing those numbers to legislators too and showing them that things didn't slow down for us. Things have picked up, and they're not going to slow down because we've got a large portion of our population that is aging. So also with the public emergency ending, that's gonna increase our phone calls too. People in this month are gonna start their food share benefits will be reduced, and that sort of thing, and they will be calling. So I think we'll see an increase in people wanting to get on disability again. That happened at the start of the pandemic. I think it'll happen again, and we'll have people looking for help. So, and even while all of that isn't all of our staff's responsibility, they tend to call us anyway. We literally, the people know we answer the phone, so. You've gotten, what did you get?
More recently, yeah, it was for a village number.
Yeah, they wanted to rent the village.
Village building.
So they called.
So I gave them the village number.
Or you comply. Yeah, I mean, it is, but I do think we are seeing more and more people a little more stressed. I mean, food prices are high, you know, fuel prices, while down, are still kind of high, and people are worried. So we see people coming in a lot more concerned, I think. And like I said, the number of people wanting to get on meals or needing meals is higher too. So it's concerning where it could go, because we don't have an unlimited pot of funds. So. But, all right, so program report, do you want to share anything on that?
I was just going to follow up with that a little bit with the public emergency, with the food share, that could affect our donations, because they can use their food share cards to make donations for meals, so that could affect some of the donations you're getting. You may not get as much. But no, we're just busy. A lot of meals going out.
Pretty much so. Some of the numbers, like information in the systems, we don't have those. We probably won't have those reports till early March versus all the reports. Danica has to pull those, and they're not available. So we're always kind of lagging behind on some of those. So I think bus is going well. I think Dan's doing a great job. We've got some regular riders that are that we've not had in the past, so that's nice.
I found a more yesterday. She goes, I don't have anybody coming in because everybody's going on the bus. So
well, shoot.
Yeah. I think she had a couple people, but a lot of her people were going on the bus. So yeah, I do think the bus is going well.
Yeah, and again, I think the bus has picked up a little bit too, just because of the cost. So, and Dan does a nice job. Mm-hmm. Any other questions? Any thoughts, concerns on the reports? I think we ended 22 in pretty good shape, and hopefully we keep 23 in good shape.
I'd like to go back to the meals. Can you explain real briefly again? People call, and you can't charge a fee? Is it a donation only? But it's a recommended donation?
No. Well, no. The suggested. And now the state doesn't even want to call it donation. Okay. Now they've changed their mind on donation. They want to call the suggested contribution.
So is it different if it's congregate or
home? The suggestion is the same for both. The numbers do vary between congregate, and the costs vary a little bit. But right now,
apparently.
Yeah,
home delivered meals.
Yeah.
I guess, yeah. So pre-COVID, there were two different costs for the real cost for a congregate versus a home delivered. But at this time, we won.
Right. Since the pandemic, we've been allowed just to have.
So can you take, or I just got something in the back of my head that I want to wrestle with later, but for like the city of Blackville, for a day, what would be the cost for the meals? I mean, just a ballpark. And where my mind is going is the possibility of maybe getting some of that sponsored.
So, and here's where
You can't do that?
No, we can. We have to get around it. Because we can't offer free meals.
Right.
They do not. We did that. I actually did that. I'll be honest. I had a whole bunch of free meals in March a few years ago. And then the state came back and said, you really can't do that one. And I'm like, nobody told me I couldn't. Thank God I already had. And they're like, no, you can't offer free. The Older Americans Act requires that we have to advertise that there is a suggested contribution. So we can't offer anything free. However, we have had people come in and want to sponsor a congregate meal. And what we tend to do is give out gift certificates, mm-hmm. make gift certificates available. So then
so it's possible.
Yeah. So we can do it. They
still have to be given the opportunity to
donate.
So even though someone
right.
can be,
if there was an organization that would step
yeah.
up and say,
we can't really say sponsor.
No,
that's they don't
can't.
Like that either.
Right. So the wording's very difficult.
The services are going to tell that they would take 1 day a year.
Yeah, it's we have to kind of work around it, it's silly stuff to me.
But if you took the number of meals served on 1 day in Platteville,
yep,
approximately what would that cost?
At the full cost,
as a
suggested
donation,
$1,058.67.
That's the full cost.
Full cost. Which
at the suggested donation, it would be.
$324.
It's $4 and a quarter. Is that what the
$4?
$4
is a suggested.
I have a question on that. So counties set their own price.
Yes.
Because
yes, Iowa County's
middle point.
Right. Iowa County's is a little higher right now.
$6.
Yeah. Well, I think she even does hers.
Hers are different per
location.
I think too. So I don't know if that depends on the vendor.
I was visiting a relative. And she said she paid $6 a day. She lives right in town.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. People can, counties do set their own.
I thought they did, but I couldn't. Wow, that's a lot.
And some of them do different for congregate versus home delivery, too.
Yes. Okay. Yes. It's the the semantics of that and not saying sponsored and.
Can't say complimentary, can't say the wordage is very.
And yet then Laura actually gave us a training and pointed out that you could get a free meal if you were a volunteer. Both Courtney and I are like, you told us no. So
what if you donated like as a gift? So for example, the 4-H Club wanted to give $100 as a gift.
We usually like to clarify when we know people are going to do that. We get people that just make a donation and we use that towards the cost of all the meals, because obviously we don't get the entire cost. The way the guidelines read is a donated unless specific has to go towards overall costs of the entire program, that you can't be specific. However, we tell people if somebody says I really want it and I want it for free meals in Boscoville, of course, they will say free meals. Then again, we'll use kind of our gift certificate thing to do that with, and we'll let them do that. But it's a little tricky. But if they don't specify, then it is supposed to go as part of our program income. It's very prescribed for how much money we actually get. I mean, it is a little crazy, but we have to live within those grant rules as well. So. But we do have some people that donate, and we have had people that want to, provide some. So we try to work it out so that it's a win-win for everybody, because obviously we want it to be. But yeah, it gets to be a little tricky.
What? Somebody has too much time to figure all these.
Well, and the problem is that the biggest problem is that when they did this back in, I don't know, late 60s, early 70s. I think it was maybe, I always say 60s, but I think that was heads. That was my other that was my other job. So I think the meal program maybe came in the early 70s. But they get some of this in legislation, so it makes it more problematic because now it can't be changed without legislation. But I think also some of it is the state's interpretation, which I push back on a lot. Because again, I still think there's got to be some leeway between congregate funding and Meals on Wheels and on the home delivery funding. I just don't, this whole, well, they need the congregate, they need that socialization. Yes, they do. I will not dispute that research shows that you know, being social is good for people. But we let people self-determine in every other aspect of their lives. In fact, we're very known for that we don't prescribe what people need, that we let them make that choice, except for when it comes to their meal. And then we say, nope, you don't qualify for home delivered. You have to go to Concord if you want your meal. And no, you can't take it out.
Yeah,
it doesn't matter if you don't want to be social. This is how you have to do it.
Yeah.
I don't like that. I just
in school.
I just don't like that. I know. I just don't like that. I don't think that's, you know, and as somebody who's that age, that, you know, I would not want to be told, here's where you got to go in at this time. And no, I don't want to do that. So, I think they need to flip the switch on that. So, and at the time they made those rules, it was a very different time. People didn't go out to lunch and I don't know, it was just different. So, I don't think moving forward, if they don't do something, it's going to be successful. So, well, it's clearly not. It hasn't been. Pandemic shifted it, obviously. And what the pandemic did was highlight how much people really liked the home delivered.
Yes.
And how beneficial that was. And I just think they need to do something. But they tend to, all of the revitalization grants that they've done and pushed are like one day a month food truck somewhere. Well, that doesn't solve anybody's food insecurity either. And I'm much more into food insecurity than I am socialization. I there are ways for people to be social, and it doesn't have to be coming and sitting down. I'm not saying that's not good, because I know it is, but that's still your choice, you know. I watch the basketball games from my recliner because I don't want to go sit at the basketball game. So, I mean, and that's a choice I make. I mean, I just don't understand. While almost everything we do gives people that choice, and then we don't allow that for congregate. And I say that, I think, at every state meeting. Yes. Yeah. But I don't know. There seems to be some difficulty in whether that's more state related or Older Americans Act. So they kind of blame it on the feds, but I'm not entirely sure it's all at the fed level. I think the legislation at the state level could be changed. I don't know. We'll see. Hopefully, there's certainly a lot of pushback from the counties, because the counties, you know, we're a large county. We're one of the largest counties in the state, and we're getting, you know, obviously not metro, but and we're only getting 40,000. So these little counties are getting barely anything, and they're seeing a huge increase. So Richland County was going to, I mean, at one point they entertained not even having meal sites, and it's tough. I feel bad because directors are, you know, not every county is. I would say that our county has always been very good about supporting our meal program. Nutrition program has always been fully supported, but there's a lot of counties that are like, you can only use what you're getting, and you've got to keep it. And what do you do then? Then you're telling people no. Our biggest problem now is telling people no, because we're so rural and large. Yes. And we can't get out to everybody, but usually we can find some support either through their family or a neighbor. We can find somebody that can get them a meal, you know, and get it to them. So that's what we try to do when we know we don't have those routes. But I know, I mean, we've sat on many state calls where they're like, no, we have to stay within our, you know, 18,000 that we get for home delivered and our 70,000 for congregate. We can't go over budget of that. I'm thinking, we got a million dollar
nutrition program here. So it's kind of scary. And it's only going to get worse. I mean, look, we've lost another nursing home. It's going to be interesting where all these people are going to be, because they're going to have to be at home. And that's where, you know, most people want to be, and they'll do well for a long time if the support services come to them. But if the support services can't come to them, then what? Yeah. So, yeah, it's kind of scary. Any other questions? And if you have somebody that you know that wants to do that, just the main thing would be is just have them contact us first so that we can work out a system to make it work with our system. So so I don't get in trouble again. I advertised, I did it all. I didn't. That was an interpretation that I had never seen.
Yeah.
But I think it was my advertising of it that sent it over the edge.
Could you make it a theme day?
I made it a whole theme month.
Motion then to approve the director of the program?
We don't need to do that. No, so
okay.
You might want a motion to adjourn.
I'm in motion to adjourn.
Who seconded it?
I don't know.
Did we get a second?
I will.
Okay. I didn't know if I just missed it or kind of having a week. It's been kind of a, I don't know.